Welcome and thank you for tuning into Crossroads Church Aspen and our teaching ministry. We are thrilled that you desire to learn more about God and His Word. We also want to encourage you not to make this a substitute for belonging to a local church in your area. We are made for community and to be relationally connected to each other in the body of Christ. Remember, isolation kills, but community builds. We hope this message blesses you and draws you deeper into the community of Christ Church.
Everybody doing well this morning? It's good. I tell you, I just want to commend you as Derek did to look out and see when Becca called us to pray. I don't know even how to put that in words, but just to see you all ministering to each other. Church is not a place you come and get just ministered. What church, we've got to change that. It is the body, the family, serving each other with our gifts. And that's beautiful. So that was super encouraging to me. So, huh? Something's going on in the basement. This is good. You know, the kids are rowdy, and that's good. So it's good stuff. Again, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be there this morning, starting in chapter 1. Let me just encourage you. I don't have the verses on the screen this morning. So if you don't have your Bibles, you're just going to have to listen, which is fine. But I just really encourage everyone to bring your Bible to church. And if you need help finding what Bible to buy, a good one, please talk to us. But we need to change something, right? We need to change. It used to be, right, where we had a hunger for the Word and it was with us and we marked it up and it was with us. And whether it's on your phone or iPad, that's cool too. I really encourage, there's something about paper, even scientifically, that is important. So I just give you that encouragement to bring the Word with you as we dive in together on that. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, thanks for that touch, Lord, earlier. I felt you moving, God. Lord, you're pleased. You want to dwell with your people when they gather and worship. You promise you are among us. Lord, often we have not because we ask not. Lord, increase our faith. You know where every heart is this morning. May your word, Lord, as it says, be just pierced through, Lord, to the depth of our soul this morning, Lord. Encourage us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You've heard it before, but I want to ask again, do you believe that God loves you and that he has an awesome plan and purpose for your life? Do you believe that? It's something that you've heard maybe, but it almost comes across when someone, a preacher, or you hear it somewhere else, or someone says it to you, God loves you and he has a plan. He has a wonderful purpose for your life. In our day and age, it almost like that is just, and if you grow up in the church, maybe that language just kind of, it's just kind of a Christianese. It just kind of, it's a feel good, but it just maybe flies over your heart and your mind. God loves you, and he has a powerful plan, and he has a purpose for your life. And we want to drill into that this morning. And I hope that the Spirit of God with the Word of God will just really refresh us and illuminate us and overwhelm us, right, with these two things, God's purpose and his love. I want you to not forget this. Those two cannot be separated. And we're going to see that in Scripture. Two things that we wrestle, the church and the believers, every one of us here this morning wrestle with. One is tangibly getting our arms around God's love for us. Right? If you have that down, please, we need to get you up here to give testimony. But we know that God loves us. But to actually live in that and to be secure in that and be overwhelmed by his affection and his radical love for us is a whole nother process, isn't it? It's one thing to intellectually read it in the Bible, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. It's a whole nother thing to actually experience that and actually live in it, right? Now, here's the other problem, the huge issue that we all struggle with is finding purpose for our lives. I ask you this morning, do you know your purpose? Are you living from it? Is everything you do tied to knowing clarity where God has called you, what your purpose in life is? Do you have clarity on that plan, that wonderful plan we all just said we believe that God has for your life? Or have you kind of fallen into kind of what I'll call kind of, well, whatever, or just kind of, let's just see how it goes type of approach, and we just get busy and we just start moving down the line. But really, clarity on God's purpose is just some vague thing, just like his love. And what we're going to see in Scripture is these two cannot be separated. You know, that we'll never really experience and live and be motivated in the power of God's love, right, until we understand the purposes of God for our lives. And we'll never really lay hold of the purpose of God in our lives and be able to walk in that until we really get our arms around understanding God's immense love for us. These two things are intimately connected all through Scripture, especially here in the book of Ephesians, as we're going to see, which is a blueprint really for what God is building. Now, I want to ask you another question. We talk about our purpose. Also, we live in an age today that is so center, selfish, independent focus. So even in the church, when we talk about God's love for us and God's purpose for us, it's a highly individualized thing. We think about what God's doing for me, and we miss that his love and purpose for me is intimately connected. When we're saved into his family, and neither one of those things can ever truly be experienced and walked in and understood outside of and being a part of God's church, his people, his family. And those are things that we have to see and get breakthrough today if we're going to, again, establish what God really wants to do. And so I ask you this question. Do you know God's purpose in this world? Do you know what God's purpose is? And here's where we have to start, and this is where we're going to start this morning, because we've talked so much about our purpose, God's love for me, and everything's through the filter of what I want to do, my agenda, and everything, and we forget that that's not the starting place. The starting place is understanding God's purpose. And so if someone was to ask you today, they're sitting down, you're talking about purpose, and they said, well, what is God's purpose in this world? And what would you say? What would you say? And honestly, I believe with all of my heart today, this undergirds why we're not getting much movement, much radical breakthrough in the church when it comes to people being set free with the love of God, truly experiencing his vast, amazing love, and have it be a force in their life to drive them, and great clarity on their purpose, breakthrough in all aspects of whatever vocation they have or family, all the different plates we balance in life, right? That there's this should be this uniting thing in our lives that holds it all together. We have a sense of peace. We have a sense of God's with me. I ask you this morning, do you feel like God's with you? Do you live in the peace of God over your life, the rest of God over your life? Now, for many today, and we don't even have to speak about where our culture is, but many in the church today, they're struggling with those things. God's purpose, it begins with finding his purpose. And so this morning, I want us to just talk about how do we find purpose, and I'm going to take us on a journey. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture this morning. And I hope you'll follow along, but also I hope you'll just listen this morning. The next 3 weeks, I'm going to just tell you where we're going here as we kind of come up to Thanksgiving. But in the White Hart right here, the next 3 weeks, we're going to build upon each other. This morning, we're talking about the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. And next week, we'll talk about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in life. And the following week, we're going to talk about the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. All of that works together is understanding when we're saved, that when the Spirit of God comes inside us, what happens? And this morning, the indwelling Holy Spirit, one of the things the Spirit does is he repurposes us to be part of the greatest building project ever. He repurposes us in alignment with God's grand purpose. In God's grand purpose in this world, we might fumble around, we're supposed to love people, it's to bring people to himself, all that's true. But God's grand purpose, as we're gonna see, is much larger than that. And I hope our eyes and our hearts kind of come alive, because when we read this, what you're gonna see is the way Americans approach God's purpose is not, we're missing the boat when it comes to what God is building. And a lot of us are off building something else outside of what God is building, two separate things. And hence, we struggle with identity and love, and we struggle with clarity on purpose. God wants that to all come together and do something beautiful in all that. Now, let me just say this. Here's the amazing good news of the gospel. The amazing news, good news of Jesus is this, is no matter where I've run and how out of line with God's purpose I've been in my life, is that here, this is the deal. The Spirit of God can come on us and repurpose us at any time to make up lost ground of wasted life and restore us back to the purpose that God has for us, and restore us within his immense love and clarity of why we're here and what our unique role is in this world. And so let me just dive in this morning to Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, chapter 1 of Ephesians. And I want to just talk about this project, this purpose. What is the purpose of God? And I'm going to start in verse 7 of chapter 1. There's so much here. Let me just read for us. Listen to the word of God, the purpose of God in the world, okay? Remember, this is not about having God come and to establish my agenda, my purpose, my plans. This is about first lining up, and this is the work of the Spirit of God. This cannot be done intellectually. This is what the Spirit of God does. Is he repurposes us. He aligns our affections and life up with God's purpose. And this is when the favor of God, the blessing of God starts flowing right in our life. Verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, in Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. The grand purpose of God, folks, from the beginning of time, is to bring heaven and earth together. God wants to a place of dwelling, his presence. He desires to live and dwell with us, not be removed from us, but to exist with us, to abode, to have a home. And his point in all of the beginning of the creation of this world to the end, this is what we lay over all of Scripture, is from the beginning of time, God is working. And how can he have a people who are free of a free choice and everything else, and who've made sinful decisions and made a mess of his creation? How can he redeem all that and bring that together, bring heaven, perfection, the glories of God, bring that to earth, bring and make this one? This is God's grand purpose, and it's through Jesus. And as we're going to see, it's through his church. It's through his family on this earth, where heaven and earth are to be coming together and to be a light for the rest of the world until Jesus comes and actually finds his bride, his church, his family, loving each other, and a place where God's presence can reside when God's people come and they worship together, and to be an expression of that family on earth so that God comes and blesses his presence. Verse 11. In him, Paul says, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of his truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And one of the first things the Spirit does is when the Spirit comes in is he starts this work, unless we shut it down, as we're going to talk about, of repurposing us into God's grand purpose. And that as a follower of Jesus, it means to follow the cause of Christ in the world. And that, again, I'm not going to experience his love, his blessing, his favor and clarity in my life unless I become in line with the grand purposes of God. But folks, again, let me just step back and say, we live in a culture, even a Christian culture, where we are so inundated with, it's about me, a highly individualized view of Scripture, view of Christianity, that we're going to get clarity and blessing in our life on my individual track outside of what God is doing in the world of bringing heaven and earth together with his Son in the body of Christ, the family of God. It's the Spirit of God, we go to 1 Corinthians, that baptizes, puts us into this new family. and starts working out our role, our gifts in building, right, the house of God. It says that the Spirit of God is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Do you know that God has an amazing inheritance for each of us? Inheritance, because he's a father and he's building a house. And he has work for us to do. He's created us. In chapter 2, it says he's got works for us to do in this building project, the greatest building project ever. Okay? You flip over to chapter 2, down to verse 18. The whole course of Ephesians is trying to drive this home. The first three chapters are living out. Here's the purpose of God. Now, church, line up with the purpose of God. And the last three chapters of Ephesians are talking about now get busy building the house of God, using your unique gifting to become part of God's greatest building project there is in the world. Verse 18 of chapter 2, for through him, Jesus, we both, speaking Jews and Gentiles now, he's bringing it all together, have access, listen to this, by one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers, listen to this, and aliens. But you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. This is the work of the Spirit when he saved you, comes in you. Is he's changing, he's repurposing us to see that now we're no longer separate, right? But we're a part of what God is building in the world and his family. We're members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus is the very cornerstone of this project, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple, into the Lord. In him, in Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God the Father by the Holy Spirit. The greatest building project ever. But folks, oftentimes what we find in the church is though we have the blueprint for this, the greatest building project in the world, oftentimes we have the blueprint, we have little pieces of it, but in many ways the church today is what I would just describe as a chaotic construction site, a very messy construction site. You have some blueprints laying around, you have the people who read and study the blueprints and they understand what the blueprints say, but you've got people milling around, you have people just not knowing what their role is, and the construction of that thing is a mess. It's behind, it's over budget, it's a mess. You've got people standing around, nobody's really busy, everybody's watching and trying to figure out what's the purpose, what are we building here in the first place? That's the American church. And everybody else is standing around and consumed with my world, what's going on with me and my purpose, all the while when God is inviting them into the greatest building project there ever is to play a role in what God is doing. And then God promises that he will unleash in each of our lives clarity of God's immense love for us, what he desires for us. And also his purpose for us, that he's created us with unique gifts to come and be an intimate part of this grand building project. Folks, I don't know about you, but I think we all could give testimony of getting a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of personal projects, a lot of things that we go after, and all that's not bad. Some of that's great, but the problem is if it's not tied. If I can't say that that is a result of being a part of God's purpose, is God unleashing this, or was this just something that I wanted to go do and pursue? Remember, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And we have a lot of building going on, a lot of time, a lot of effort, again, in this chaotic construction site, a lot of little personal projects over here that aren't building something that will last for eternity. Right? That will last for eternity. God's called us into this grand project. And so what I want to talk about now is just how. And I want three things here out of the scripture of Paul goes on and he gives over, and we're just scratching the surface in the book of Ephesians, but he goes on to give clearly, well, how do we do that? How do we bring alive the work of the Spirit in our lives on this? Folks, I hope you hear me, because take this as a prophetic word, right? Not just a sermon point, but something that God wants to restore in our lives, that we need to test with the Word of God and ask him to speak into our lives on this issue. is have we laid hold of the purposes of God on this issue? And the work of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of God, is to repurpose me, is to encourage me to see my role in God's purpose. And I should be more excited and focused on what God is doing than on what I am doing. When I'm focused on what God is doing, you know what I am doing and get excited about, it has a whole new life. Clarity comes to the toiling and all of the spending money, time here and there for what sometimes is it starts to make sense when I bring God into it and I lay it before him. But I have to have an enlarged heart for God. What are you building? What are you doing? Folks, as we've seen, it is the church. The thing that God is doing, his greatest project. And you know what, God, do you think God's concerned about our election here in America? Yeah. Now, this is an interesting point. Now, is he concerned? Of course. Don't get me wrong, right? It says the sparrow doesn't fall from a tree, that God doesn't. But you read in the scriptures, you know what? Nations rise, nations fall. You know what's on God's heart? You know what heaven is focused on from the beginning of time? What God is primarily working on? You read the Bible. Nations rise, nations fall. God uses nations, he uses ungodly kings and rulers and godly kings and rulers to carry out his purpose. God's primary purpose in the world is his church. Around the world, all every tongue, tribe, and nation, when God's people are gathered together, are they honoring him? And are they longing for his presence? And are they being his children? And it's in the midst of that that he shines a light, the city on the hill, right, the church is to be, to the surrounding world. And so I just want to, in the midst of an election year, I want to tell you something. The focus of followers of Jesus is not on the election of our nation. The focus should be on God. Because let me just throw something out that might just throw a wrench in it. It just might be that God is behind the decadent fall of our nation. Because he's not so concerned about America. He's concerned about his church being the church. I want you to think about that. And look at scripture. He's not so concerned. He's not working and building nations today. He uses nations. His purpose through the beginning of time is building a family. It's building a family who loves each other and who works together to build this holy household, this greatest building project in the world, to give off something glorious for the rest of the world to see. And yes, that is to impact the nations, right? So just think about that. Folks, if there's anything that's derailed the cause of Christ throughout the time, from the time of Constantine, when Christianity became now the main religion and was given political power and money, if anything's derailed the purpose of God, it has been the uniting of the church and politics. Nothing has corrupted the cause and the value of God's people like that issue. Now, don't get me wrong. We're to be the best citizens in the world. We're to be involved. But again, we have to first be in tune with the cause of God in the world. What is he doing, right? Now, how do we do that, right? How does the Spirit repurpose us, right, to be part of this greatest building project ever? Three things here just as we close out. First, folks, we need, I'm going to call it Holy Spirit FOMO, okay? We need Holy Spirit FOMO. That when we're saved, when we just read in chapter 1 that we heard the word of God and we believed in Jesus, and it says the Holy Spirit came and sealed us at that moment, right? And we were saved and starts changing us, right? Starts changing our heart to get our heart and delight to lined up with the Father's delight. Listen to what Paul does. Listen to his prayer. This is chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Paul says, for this reason, because of God's great purpose in the world, because of God's greatest building project ever, Paul prays, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Father Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, folks, if the Spirit's already sealed, as Paul goes immediately into, because of the truth of God's purpose, he praying, which we should be praying this for each other, he's praying what? That the Father may give us his Spirit. Now, wait, we already have the Spirit, so why is Paul praying that God would give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the eyes of our... Read the rest of this. What is he asking for? And we read on. Verse 21, or let me read. He's praying for all these things that... all the way down, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul is praying, God, may they be filled, and may that Spirit move in them that they may get a view of your grand purposes in the world, right? Of Jesus bringing all things in heaven and earth, bringing those together through his church. May they get enlightenment. May they come into agreement with the grand purposes of God. And folks, I call it Holy Spirit FOMO because if there's anything we should fear missing out on, it is in this greatest building project ever. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3, it says the day is coming, right? When God is going to come and he's going to evaluate all of us and the work that we've done to build in this project. If it was wood, hay, and stubble, it will reap no reward. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's concerned primarily about the building of his household and how each of us are building. In all of this, the love of God, the purposes of God, all this flows from my getting clarity and stepping into that building project. That's what we were saved into. Not just to go off on my own little personal mission, my own personal little agenda. Never, you'll never find that in Scripture. But that is the American way. And until we get resolution on that, we're not going to see clarity of purpose. We're not going to see the delight of God, right, among his people and the breakthrough when it comes to our identity and the love of God tangibly being experienced by people. The next one is we need the Spirit's power to unite God's love and purpose in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit who unites these two things together. Remember what we said? God loves you, and he has a plan and purpose for your life. Those two are intimately connected all through Scripture. And here is one of the wonderful places that it's intimately connected. I wish I had time to take you to the beginning of chapter 3. Please go read it, where Paul talks about the mystery of what God is doing through his church. This is at the heart of what is his family. It's his people. And he wants his family to come together as this incredible, healthy family that's a light shining among all the nations, that everyone would have an opportunity to come and be part of that family. And he prays again because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? We can have, again, we can believe in Jesus. We can receive the word of God and believe in Jesus. And we can miss the move of the Spirit in our lives completely. We cannot lay hold of the repurposing in our life and miss and quench the Spirit's work in our life. This is why he prays that God would give forth the Spirit. In other words, bring it alive. Bring it more alive inside our hearts that we would line up. Right, with the Spirit of God. In verse 14, chapter 3, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He's speaking to Christians. He's asking God that we all would be strengthened by the power of the Spirit of God so that Christ would dwell in us. And this truly would be the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? That you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength, listen to this, folks, to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, most of the time when we interpret, and we've heard that passage, we interpret the idea of that Paul is saying that the saints may comprehend, right, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, the four dimensions here. We think he's talking about the vastness of the love of God. Oh, he is. But why does he use that terminology? I want to open up and unlock something for you this morning. What Paul is saying here is the love of God that it surpasses all intellectual knowledge. It cannot be experienced and known outside of building the household of God. The height, the breadth. He's talking about God's household. And that not only, and in the midst of understanding the great love of God, that the saints understand this greatest building project ever that God is doing. And that those two go together. And it's when God's people, repurposed by the Holy Spirit, come together and serve each other and get busy doing what the God has blessed each of us uniquely to do in building the household, is that that's when the love of God takes over. Does that make sense, gang? He's not talking about just the love of God. He's talking about the love of God interspersed with the household of God. And it's just interesting, the four dimensions of the household, and I just throw this out to you, is spiritual immaturity is one-dimensional thinking. And this is really the Pharisees. This is legalism, just one-dimensional thinking. Spiritual maturity, as we grow, we are to grow into four-dimensional thinking, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and God's family. All working, breadth, height, length, width, into this beautiful purpose of God. A place where he wants to dwell and have a healthy family. The restoration of the nations, the restoration of this world. Back to what God really wanted it to be. Right. And last thing, we need to become builders of God's household. And he moves on from there, and he gets very practical here, and he tells the church, he says, well, how, what do we do to become part of this building project? And he says, now get busy. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called as builders, and do it with all humility and gentleness. Here's the fruit of the Spirit, and patience. Listen to this, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is nothing more important among God's people in the house to maintain the unity of the Spirit of God. That is a work of the Holy Spirit, because God is serious about disunity in his family. And when we, the Christian church in America, when we have been so individualistic in our thinking, is when tough times hit, it fires flames of disunity. Rather than the love that should be in there, that is at all costs, even if I have to lay down my agenda, we must maintain the unity of God's family. And just take this to your own household. At all costs, maintain the unity of the Spirit for the sake of God and his favor over that household. This is what he's saying. And then he moves on, verse 7, by grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of God's gift. Verse 11, he's given the gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When heaven and earth are united in the family of God, and each child is using their and learning to use their unique gifting to serve and build up the body. And so I ask you this morning, church, how are you building God's household? How involved in the greatest building project ever are you? And that there's a God who saved you, and he wants to pour out on you clarity of amazing purpose and blessing and his love. And it is in the context of being a part of that project that those things happen. The favor of God happens. And so just, I want to leave those up on the screen and just ask you just to, so Derek, y'all come on up, just to meditate on those. See what the Spirit of God needs to say, right, this morning. And let's continue to dialogue in this. But I'm here to tell you, we have it all the time where people are wrestling with experiencing the love of God. It can't happen outside the household of God. Oh, we'll get a start of it, but it will not grow outside of being a part of the household of God. Jesus didn't come for some individualistic spiritual expression. Those are all to be, he's building a family. And the way we love and experience love, you know how God mainly loves us? It's through others. It's when others are building using their gifts, that we experience that fast love of God. Right? Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you overwhelm us with your phenomenal, grand work in this world. And Lord, it's so comforting, Lord, especially when we look at what's going on in our world, Lord, to know, Father, that all things are in your hands. You have a purpose. You have a plan. Nothing can thwart that plan, God. Lord, I just pray you to awaken each of us. How are we building? How are we building? If we know you, Jesus, we should want what you want. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we've tried. I know in my own life, I've tried to work. And Lord, it ends in toil and disillusionment so often and lack of joy. God, you want to pour out joy. Holy Spirit, we need you to repurpose us. We need you to bring alive the love of God inside us. Lord, show us. Holy Spirit, come. Do the work that only you can do, God. Father, we want to be a healthy church. We want, Lord, to be a place of radical love. We want to be building, Lord, for the kingdom, for eternity. We want to be that light on a hill, city on a hill. We want you to be pleased. We want heaven and earth to come together here, God, as you promise. We want heaven to smile when they see the love in this body, when they see the reverence and the desire to serve each other, use our gifts. Yes, Lord, come do that. Jesus, you say you will build your house. Father, come change us, show us how.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.